irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.
Digging this music, Kent, as I see you are. This music is from a very good old friend of mine, 40 years plus, Rick Gilman. He has got albums out. You can find him on Amazon. He's a hell of a guitarist, and he donated this piece of music to us for our show. The title is Buffalo Grass. And the guy is a guitarist extraordinaire. So you are listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block, coming to you from my secret studio somewhere deep in the Sawtooth Mountains of Western Idaho. My name is Jim Christina. I am your host in studio tonight with Bobby Jean Bell in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And she is now asked to be called Quirky. And Mr. Richard Polinelli from Fruta, Colorado. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, Jim.
What be happening? Richard, you're having storms.
I'm having thunderstorms, and I'm thinking about ordering a bottle of rum and a Coke. You know, so that's about where my day is right now.
I'm liking it. I may be doing that when we get off the air.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been watching Jim Jones's sojourn up to Montana, Bobby.
Uh-huh.
Up and doing his fishing.
Yes.
And then I see you got that big cutthroat trout that was what? This long?
He's a fisherman. He's just fishing is, you know, is besides songwriting and performing, fishing is his life.
Oh, yeah.
So. Yeah, they're going to be gone 10 days. They left last Thursday. So he's a busy guy. He's got a lot going on right now.
Yep. Hey, Rich, we got any announcements to make tonight?
Just to remind everybody that Into the Night is out by Caroline Giamanco. The ebook is out. We had a minor technical issue, so the paperback hopefully will be out in the next day or so.
Right.
If not, one of us might put a contract out on Jeff Bezos, but I'm just saying.
I'm good with that.
And but you know, I've got actually, before another little fire popped up, I almost got the editing done on the anthology that is connected to Escaping Infinity, which was a novel I wrote a few years ago. I invited some authors to come play in my sandbox, and they did, and they came up with some interesting stories. So if I can keep the world from burning down around me, that book actually should be out sometime next month. So
excellent.
I'm busy. I'm busy editing and fighting with people who keep trying to mess with my schedule.
Yeah, and I just started on Declan Finn's trilogy. And he is coming along nicely. And the formatting is a little difficult for Declan because he does a lot of spacing that doesn't need to be in there, but that's okay. We take care of that. That's what
he's from formatting New York.
Is all about, huh?
He's from New York. It's those New York people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come on. You know?
So for those new writers out there, or those that use the Amazon platform, a lot of the boutique publishers like ourselves and a lot of others use Amazon because it's a real inexpensive way to get printing done. And it's by demand, and it makes it real simple for all of us. We don't have to order 2,000, 3,000 copies. Our guest is shaking his head going, yep. But they apparently are now are cracking down on ISBN numbers. And if you're not registered, well, we are the registered owner of this ISBN number, but the ISBN company wanted us to use a different publisher's name. So we got caught up in that quagmire, but we have fixed it all, and it's coming along nicely now. There are times when we have really terrific writers on this program, and there have been many. And tonight's writer was asked to come on, and unfortunately, he couldn't make it, so we picked up our second choice.
Oh, man. Ouch.
I know.
Who knew he had a sense of humor like that?
So for his third visit to the writer's block, please welcome back to the dungeon, Mr. Ken LaSalle, a.k.a.
Locked in, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, oh, my gosh.
It's probably a paramedic after that ambush you just laid on him there.
Hi, Vicky. Oh,
there she is. Hey,
how
Vicky.
Are you?
Hi. How are you?
We're good. This is the other half of the LaSalle family.
Yeah.
Well, actually, this is the important half.
Yes.
The one that actually works for a living.
Yes. I just wanted to come in and say hi, and haven't seen you in so long, and it's been so nice to see you.
I know, huh? Six years. No, 5 years.
Well, yeah, me in 2016, but you, Jim, in 2018. The last time was 2018.
Yeah. That's when you were in the studio.
Yeah. Bob, and Bob Brill was there. I listened to that interview today, both of them, and they were fabulous. Both interviews with you, Ken, were just wonderful. Well,
there's no reason why this one won't be.
I agree.
Except that he is our second choice. I am listening, Vicky. Ask him about it later.
I'll hear it when we listen to it.
Yes.
But I do have to say, Ken, that and after reading Little Mike,
yeah.
I'm not too sure how I felt about that book.
And I totally understand that.
I found it extremely dystopian for one. Which is your venue, and you do well. But this one was like way out of there. This one like was off the charts. You certainly know how to use the F word. I will give you that. and sexual situations, I will give you those as well. My favorite, of course, was the one where the guy is giving the – never mind, in prison.
Yeah, come on, let's just
– for breakfast. where did this come from? I mean, this had to have been a bad dream.
Well, you know, we just lived through about 1,000 years of the Trump administration. And during that period, you know, you get a little restless. You start thinking, you know, what am I going to write? I'm so frustrated by what's going on in the world. And when it comes to something like this, I just decided I'm going to swing for the fences. I'm going to hit the ball as far out there as I can. And having written it, I sent it to over 100 publishers and agents, and they were terrified. So I realized that this is going to be my baby, and I'm going to do it my way. So that's how it came about.
It shows. If I had been an agent or a publicist and read that book, I would have given it back to you, saying, mm-hmm. This one needs to go in your drawer. Under lock and key and stay there. This brings up a question Richard and I were talking about this morning, and not necessarily this book, because we have read other of your works and they were fabulous. I mean, your writing has always just been wonderful. Richard's never read one of your books, but Bobby and I have, and mm-hmm. your writing has always been spot on and fabulous, and your stories are just great. This one here, I think, and no offense to you, Ken, because we've known each other a lot of years now, but I think there are some books that you write that actually really don't need to be published. and I would like to get your opinion on that.
The way I look at it is I got one chance to be an author.
Yeah.
So, and I probably only have about 20 years left, maybe a little bit more. I'm just going to get out there and write the books that I always dreamed of writing. You know, for the first 20 years or so, I was learning. And now I just get out there and just hit the ball over the wall as many times as I can before I end up falling over. I mean, they're not all going to be Little Mike, clearly.
Yeah.
I was telling you and Bobby before we got on the air, the second book in the Breakthrough series is on its way to the editor. And while that series is about the end of the world, it's not nearly as dark as Little Mike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, Little Mike was, it was dark. I will give you that. Yeah. And I definitely would not recommend this for YA readers.
Oh, no, no. As a matter of fact, I got one bad review on this book that I just loved because it wasn't specifically for young adults.
Oh, well, yeah, it's definitely not for young adults. No. But you do such a good job in writing in the dystopian genre. Well, and actually in almost in real life genre as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, the very first book that we read of yours was so well written. Mm-hmm. That's when we were in the trailer park with, you know, where the guy was, right? Yeah.
Climbing Maya, right?
Maya.
Wonderful, great book. Wonderful book.
And I've always admired your writing. And it's not that I don't admire this. I mean, your use of the language is good. Boy, your use of profanity is even better. So I applaud you on one hand that you had the balls to put it out there.
Well, you
know, have you sold any? That's what I guess I'm interested.
You know, the funny thing about Little Mike is I'm actually not selling a whole lot of them. I actually, since the pandemic started, my sales kind of went through the floor. I mean, they just crashed.
Everybody's did.
Yeah. But not one person has read it who has not talked to me about it in some way. Either they're, you know, impressed or they're disgusted or, you know, it always gets a reaction from people. Mm-hmm. I talked to a friend of mine the other day who was up all night reading it. And, you know, to keep somebody up all night with a book, what better thrill is there for a writer than that?
That's true. That's true. Richard, you mentioned that you had a question that you would like to ask Mr. LaSalle.
Yeah, I mean, I was worried about being overly harsh, but since Jim has just kneecapped you with an aluminum baseball bat, I don't have to worry about it anymore. My question kind of goes into, and you brought it up a little bit, is with what has been going on, especially this year and especially recently, where you've got, you know, people falling off of airplanes because they'd rather take that risk then stay on the ground and whatever would happen to him there, right? How difficult is it to expect readers who have to put up with that when they read the news or watch the news, and they're going, you know, let me get away from this, and then they pick up Little Mike, and it, you know, it's like, okay, this is just like what I just saw only on steroids.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's a concern for anybody writing dystopian that you go too dark?
Absolutely not, and I'll tell you why. Because okay. They are sick and tired of the bullshit, and they need they are craving straight talk. And so, if an author can get out there and say as clearly and concisely and precisely why they should be so pissed off, that book deserves to be out there. So while someone my age perhaps might not be so interested, I don't think I'm writing for that demographic.
Okay. And
I don't think that I don't think I'm ever going to connect so much with somebody who sees eye to eye with me, because I'm not my demo. You know.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm reading this book. I'm thinking this is for the X generation. This is for the generation that's down in the 20s.
Yeah.
And has big mouths and open them and speak and you know, and but I mean, for as far as dystopia goes, I'm my tongue tied.
Not the big things. And one of the things I talk about in the book is the death of amateur photography. I know it's like really kind of obscure and out there, and I only mentioned a little bit, but it is kind of key to everything that happens in that book. These little things in life that we think, you know, they're going to last forever, there's always going to be need for them. Not really. And in the case of amateur photography, I spoke with a friend of mine, K.S. Brooks, some years ago, who is a photographer and an author, and she was telling me about how with the democratization of photography, with it all on the internet, there's really not so much of a need for people to take pictures of trees and birds and so on and so forth. So I got to thinking, well, what will people do with photography then? You know, what picture is going to have to, what are you have to take a picture of to really get noticed?
Right.
You see, you know, car accidents, people take pictures of, and all kinds of things. And so, you know, you got to bump that up a little bit, and you got to keep raising the bar. And that's the little Mike is the bar raised about as high as it can go.
Yeah, oh, that is absolutely true. Let's stop right there. We're going to take a real quick break, and right. We'll be back in a little bit. But right now, you're listening to LA Talk Radio. This is the Writer's Block, and we'll be back with you after a brief message from LA Talk Radio. Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you've ever thought that you could be a radio host, well, now is certainly your opportunity. Go to www.latalkradio.com. Find the link that says be a host and follow the instructions. You know, everybody's got something to say. And if you've got a show that you think needs to be heard, how about you link up with us? Because we've got 50-minute shows available every day of the week, plus Sundays. So how about giving us a try? That's latalkradio.com. And listen every Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, for the Writer's Block, right here on LA Talk Radio. And we are back. And if you want to call and talk to Ken, the number here in the studio is 323-203-0815. Got it, Bobby?
Got it.
That's 323-203-0815. And you can call and you can talk to Mr. Live, Ken LaSalle, sitting here in all his glory with his hair down to his shoulders, which I never thought I'd see.
Goes with the book.
Huh?
It kind of goes with the book. He's a bit of a renegade.
It does go with the
rebel
book.
And a
but actually, Ken,
revolutionary.
I have to say, it looks really good on you. It yeah. looks good.
Jesus hair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess it is kind of Jesus-like. Oh. Yeah. Anyway.
Books for that, but sure.
Let's talk a little bit about your writing. The last time we spoke, you told us that you had your goal was to write 10,000 words a week, 2,000 words a day.
I want to correct that because, well, I've done that. That's not, I mean, at one time it may have been my goal, but I don't like to think of word counts. I don't like to put myself in word counts. Maybe I did it one time, but I'm trying to change my outlook. When I'm writing, when I'm in a book, then it could be as many as 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 in a day. But I try not to. I'm in a different place as an author than I used to be. You know, I feel like I'm out of that kind of proving myself phase where I've got to keep churning out the stuff constantly. You know, I did about 2 years where I was constantly putting stuff on social media, YouTube, podcasts, etc. And it burned me out. It killed me. So I had to have a come to Jesus kind of moment. And I had to ask myself, what's this about? And what this really is about is the books. So I've kind of cut back on a lot of that stuff because really, I mean, I started this because I love writing books. So why let everything else get in the way? Which is why I mentioned to you earlier, I've hired an assistant to try and.
Right, right. I was going to get to that in just a minute. Yeah. But I'm glad you brought it up because you did hire an assistant.
Yeah.
And now she assists you with your social media and with your marketing and leaves you free to walk around in your underwear all day and write when you feel like it. Yeah. I'm going to guess. I'm just guessing. Anyway. Yeah.
It's great. I've been, you know, you go through a period of burnout. And actually, it's funny. I was listening to your show last week where you talked about writer's block. And thus the name. And I don't have that. I don't suffer from that as much anymore. Now I suffer from burnout. Now I've got all the ideas I need and they're grinding me into the ground.
Right.
So well,
don't you think there's just kind of a reverse?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The ideas aren't mine. I'm the ideas. You know, I belong to the ideas more than the ideas belong to me.
There you go. It's
exhausting and I am so thrilled.
Well, here's a question that I've never asked a writer, and Richard would be interested in this question as well, because he is a writer, as a very prolific writer at one point. Now you say you're down to 2 books a year.
Yeah, I'm going to release 2 a year. That's the plan. There may be a third in there. You know, I leave room open for that possibility.
How many more books do you think you have in you?
Well, if I keep writing for 20 more years, that's 40 books.
Okay, you think you'll stick to that?
Well, the breakthrough is 9 books long, so that's a quarter of it already. And
that's true.
for, and I've got some other books planned. So I already have about 20 books of 40 pretty much accounted for. So yeah, I don't see any problem with 40 more books. I think it'll probably be more than that, because I mean, one of the things about being an author, one of the things for me about being an author is the absolute thrill of it, you know, especially when you keep challenging yourself. The Breakthrough, for instance, 9 book series, I have no idea what I'm doing. There's no rule book for that. You know, you just have to go with your gut and trust that it's going to happen. And slowly but surely, I've written the first 3 books already. So I see a third of it, and I can see, you know, you can project based off of that. And it's just a thrill to be able to do this thing that, you know, when I was 16, I thought there's no way I'll ever be able to get to do that.
And here you are.
Yeah. So that's what it's all about for me, is this amazing thrill of being able to do, you know, what I've always wanted to do, and to be able to challenge myself with books that I necessarily don't think I can write. You know, because I don't think the job of an author, for me at least, is to keep writing that same thing. I think it's a good strategy if you want to sell a lot of books. I think that works really well. Mm-hmm. If I wrote 30 suspense novels, it would, you know, do pretty well. But that's not where my muse is at. You know, I'm interested in following the most challenging way to proceed. And okay. The fun is
okay. Well, you know, I'm having the opposite problem in that personally, because of Richard and I's business, Touch Deep A, and then the show, getting ready for this show, I find very little time to do writing for my own. And it's really starting to get to me, because I'm in the middle of 2 books, and I just can't quite seem to get them done. I know the stories, I know how they end. But I can't get there.
Right.
You know, yep. And
a lot of stuff for that very same reason. I just felt like I had all these ideas, but I had no time to write them, you know, because right. I would do all the other things.
Right. Right.
And now I'm in my 50s, and any, you know, that fire in your belly you have when you're younger to get out and conquer the world.
Right.
Not a part of me anymore. Now the fire in my belly is just to be the best author I can be, just to write the best I can write. And Little Mike was certainly part of that. You know, I started writing Little Mike before Trump. You know, I didn't need that to be able to write Little Mike. You know, I mean, a lot of people probably saw that coming long before too. But you know, you take little bits and pieces of ideas, and then they just kind of grow up into these, you know, things. And Little Mike and Darcy and Grace, who are the main characters in the book, they all kind of popped into my head fully formed, but they didn't have a home. And the tricky part there was figuring out, well, what am I gonna, you know, I've got this doll who comes to life, who has to destroy the world, but we've already done it.
Right.
Where do you go from there? You know, that's the thrill. That's the fun part.
Yeah, okay. I can see that. I can see that. Go ahead.
Can I have a question? I was on your Facebook page, and it was quite fun, because on your Facebook page, you are sharing a lot about your writing process. And one comment that you made earlier this month was, working my way through today's rewrites, I am stuck at how so much of writing is a battle of one-upmanship with oneself. And I thought that was a really compelling comment. Do you want to share a little bit about what you mean by that?
Sure, absolutely. I remember writing that. And I remember, because I'm doing the rewrites on Sue Jorgensen, Queen of Space, and it's the second book in the Breakthrough series. And what I didn't realize when I started, when you write a 9-book series, I didn't realize just how hard this was going to be continuity-wise. Mm-hmm. Because this series is kind of my take on the Marvel Universe, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't know if you're familiar, but all of their movies fit together. Everything fits as a nice little storyline. And so I wanted to do that. And so the first book is about Max Dedge falling into this fantasy world, while the second book is about Sue Jorgensen being kidnapped, Ganymede around Jupiter. How do they fit together? That's the fun. And so that's what the one-upmanship is about. Sure, you wrote fantasy, fine. How do you take this idea and just hit it? You know, mm-hmm. how do you mm-hmm. bounce it off into the stratosphere? Mm-hmm. And I mean, when I read, like, for instance, the beginning of Max Dedge in The Time of the Uniborg, that cold open, that set the tone for the whole series. And that is all about not knowing what's going on and one thing piling on top of another. And so once I got that, I knew I had to keep outdoing that. Mm-hmm. And it's been such a hoot.
Rich, did you have something?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, I know where you're coming from on that, because I'm part of a series that's multi-author that stretches out over two different galaxies and millions of years. And we're working in this universe with a Bible that fits about a 3-inch binder. And there's one person who's kind of Star Quest Central. Her job is to make sure we're all connected the way we're supposed to be and nobody's going off the reservation. And I got the first book out, but you know, John Wright's got the next four coming. I've got two more coming. And I understand where you're coming from, because you're like, okay, I got to make sure when I do this here, it's going to make sense over here, because I'm not going to be able to go backtrack and fix it in a previous book. You know, that book's already out.
Right.
I'm going to have to make sure I don't screw it up down the line.
And not only that, but you want to have things, you want to have the things that happen propel other things. Mm-hmm. You, mm-hmm. Everything pushing everything else higher. And I am not nearly as much an expert as I sound. So that's why when, like, rewriting the second book, I have, just to give you a little inside baseball, the first time I edited it, I realized that the top, the first third and the last third had to kind of be flipped a little bit. So I had to take the whole book and kind of rearrange it. Mm-hmm. On the third rewrite that I just finished, or I'm still in the middle of actually, I realized I got to pull a couple chapters too long.
Right.
So, you know, it's always, you know, what's going to knock this in the stratosphere. And I say that, but I got to add, I'm 55, just hitting that, right? Like, all my books, not all of them, but a lot of my books before were about learning that process. So only, you know, only now do I find myself where I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, beat the shit out of this as hard as I can.
I think we learn something new with every book we write.
You bet.
And we apply that to the next book. I mean, anybody who comes on and says, yeah, I know, I've got this author thing nailed, I'm on the floor laughing at them, because there is no, you don't have this nailed even up to the point where you keel over and die. You're still learning up until that moment what we're doing in our craft. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you pick up little tricks also from other authors. I find, anyway, as I'm reading or I'm talking to them and they're saying, yeah, I did this and this, you're like, hey, I've got something over here I've been stuck on. I can, let me apply that. I mean, have you found that to be the case?
Actually, the sad truth, the horrible thing to admit to is that I don't. I stopped reading novels probably. The last novel I wrote was actually, or read, was actually Jim Christina's 3-4 years ago.
Which one?
Shame.
Copy. I'm like, well, I got a copy. But I used to read 2-3 books at a time. I used to have stacks of books I was reading. Now I would much rather write than read. I hate reading other people's stuff. Like, I could be writing a book right now.
Well, I know we're going to go to a break in a minute, but
we are. We're going to go right now. So don't go away. Hold that thought. I want to find out how you like that book. You're listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block. And we'll be right back after this brief word from Tuscany Bay Books and Black Dog Publishing. Congratulations, you finally finished that book. Now what are you going to do with it? Well, as a new writer, you probably do what all new writers do, stick it in the drawer with the other 6 or 7. Well, why not this time do something a little different? Why not get a hold of Black Dog Publishing and our fine imprint of Tuscany Bay Books. See, we can get that book out of the drawer. We can proofread it. We can edit it. We can format it. We can publish it. We can print it. We can copyright it. And we can get it on the shelf so your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, hell, even a person you don't know or two or three might want to buy a copy. It's all what it's about. And all of this for less than the cost of your firstborn. So why not give us a shot? BlackDogPublishing.co, TuscanyBayBooks.com, your answer to getting your book published. And right now, we're probably the best at what we do in this industry. Black Dog Publishing, Tuscany Bay Books.
And we are back with our guest, Mr. Ken LaSalle. Of course, Bobby Jean Bell and Richard Polinelli. And if you want to call and talk again, the number is 323-203-0815. And you can call right into the studio and Sam will answer the phone and he'll send me a message saying you have a phone call. Okay, question. I don't think I've ever asked this one either, because, you know, when you're on the show, Ken, we've asked you so many questions in the past. It's hard to come up with new ones for you.
Well, you know, if you'd like to talk about my books for a half hour, I'm happy to do it.
Okay, we'll do that too.
Yeah, but first, we've been talking about Jim, and we need to talk a little bit more about Jim and your favorite book.
Oh, yeah,
book
how did you like the book that you read?
Well, actually, was it Jonah Blue? I wonder.
I don't know. I don't think it was out by then.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, I think it was Long Ride to Morning, wasn't it?
No, it was something Cowboys.
Oh, Contraband Cowboys.
Oh, Contraband
about the Black Cowboys.
Now, it's been about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So I don't remember anything, but I do remember I liked it. I remember it's at my brother's house, actually, in Washington. I remember I read it when I was up there. I read it on a road trip on the way up there, and I finished it up there, and I left it with him. I don't know what has happened to it since, but I do remember I liked it because I remember I read it all the way to the end and nothing is retained. I have no memory at all.
I get that. I actually get that. We read a book a week and
As soon as we're done with this interview, it's going to be gone and we're on to the next one.
I did want to just make a comment, a follow-up on what Richard was saying about you learn something new with every book. And then Ken, you talked about getting sharper and, you know, learning with each one. And, you know, as a reader, I love that about the authors that I like to read. That sometimes we have authors on this show that have already written a number of books. Yeah. And we read whatever the most current title is. And if I have time, I love to go back and read something earlier, because I really like to see how the author has moved through their own writing process. I would imagine most readers, we don't want to read the same book over and over again. You know, we want to go along with you. We want to grow along with you. So I'm just throwing that in as a reader, since I can't talk about being a writer.
That's true. You can't.
Nope.
And that's one of the reasons why I've actually, when I started self-publishing, I released my books in a specific way, meaning that I released some of my old stuff because I kind of wanted readers, whoever read my books, to get a feel of where I came from in addition to where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some older stuff like Vampire Society, which is a very political, kind of a dark book, like Little Mike was, as well as one of my first fantasy series, which was the Rinnea series. So, you know, if you're dying to compare my old stuff to my stuff, I really wouldn't recommend. But if you wanted to, it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever fine books are sold.
Well, I just downloaded The Wrong Magic to read. I'm going to start that tonight.
That's
I know it's you know 2014, but I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gonna read that one.
I wasn't a fan of the cover, because the book cover was literally a box in a living room.
Oh.
A little about the book. And then they came out with this new cover, which actually features some of the stuff in the book, and I really appreciated that a great deal.
Yeah, yeah.
A question I have for you is, do you feel that the first, I would say, because not always first paragraph or two, first couple pages is like the most important part of that book to keep the reader interested to want to go to page 3, page 4, page 5?
Well, I think when you're writing a book, the first couple pages are probably the most dispensable, because as well for me, because as I'm writing, well, further along the book, the writing gets better and better and better and sure. tighter. And so I usually will take those first couple pages and chuck it because it's usually my weakest writing and then build that kind of back up again. But you're right. Yeah, of course, the first book, the first pages are incredibly important, which is, you know, why I talk about that cold open in Max Dedge and why in Work of Art, in An Intention of Flowers, you know, immediately those flowers are in there because that's what the book is about.
Right.
Little Mike, well, he wakes up, doesn't he? In the very wakes up. So, yeah, I mean, I think any way to grab any way you can grab a reader, any trick, any deception, anything you can use to grab a reader, do it. You know?
Yeah. Because Richard and I did a book together, The Last Lonely Trail, and the first chapter was all about a raid at a ranch, and they were actually going on, like the killing of the Black family by the Knight Riders.
Yeah.
And this one was like nine guys that raided this ranch in New Mexico and killed everybody there. So, you know, it grabs you, immediately grabs you. Now you want to go find out what happens to those nine guys.
Yep.
You know, mm-hmm. And the protagonist wasn't even introduced until the third chapter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I think we all are on the same page as far as things getting done when you're writing. It's just like my goal has always been to tell the best story I can tell.
Absolutely. I think in the case of catching a reader's attention, I think if you look at something like TikTok, if you look at what a lot of the younger people are doing right now as far as art forms go, you know, as far as short forms and even long forms they do, you see a lot of playing around with that, a lot of playing around with how do you grab attention. And especially now when there's so many ways.
Yeah.
It's so much harder. I know so many fewer readers today than I used to know.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they're not emphasizing reading in school anymore. So,
well,
you know,
I worry about that. That's not who I'm trying to grab. You know, I think the nerds, I think the readers are always going to be there. I don't think that I don't put too much stock into what school teaches because I went. So I don't worry about that.
We all went, you know.
Sounds like you and I had similar school experiences, actually.
They had great people aren't necessarily the things you want to read in school. The people who want to read are grabbing stuff outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
I'm just out there to grab people's attention.
Yep. But once again, you're trying to do the best story that you can tell. And, you know, Richard is, and I am. And
yeah.
And Bobby's trying to read the best story she can read. What you need, Bobby?
Well, again, looking at your social media, you made another comment that I thought was very interesting because I listened to our two past interviews with you, and I remembered as I listened to them, how you just had ideas flowing all the time. You couldn't get them down on paper fast enough. And you had, the pipeline was alive and coming down. And I felt like this guy must never sleep. And in order to just like the shoes are dancing you that you know. And yeah. So I thought this comment was so interesting. You said, I prevent myself from working all the time. And I thought, what? He does work all the time. By sending myself the occasional note, a text, just so I can recall exactly, and there's a million of them. So tell us a little bit about, because this is a little change for you, and you are talking about writing less books. I think I figured you'd written 10 since we were together in 2016, and I might have missed some. But do you want to, this will probably get us into process a bit. You want to talk a little bit about that? I just thought that was such an interesting comment, sending yourself a text.
Well, see, I had to slow down, right? Because I was not just burning myself out. I had burnt myself out. I was done for a while. I didn't write for a couple months. And so I kind of developed new processes to try and slow myself down. And one of the decisions I made was to go back on a decision I made years ago. When you first start out writing, as you guys probably know, everyone suggests that you have a pen and paper hand. Everybody, well, do you have a pen and paper so you write down your ideas? Everybody does. It's so annoying. And so I never used to do that. And the reason I didn't is that I thought that if an idea is good enough, it'll stick. I don't want any idea that's not going to stick, so I'm not going to make notes. And that worked for a while. The problem is then you start getting so many ideas that you can't, none of them stick because you can't remember all of them.
Right.
So I thought, okay, well, I'll just text myself in my studio, and I'll sit down at my desk and I'll take these texts that I'll make sense of them. But I send myself at least 20 a day. And the great thing about it is, you know, I do a lot of my work when I go out walking in the morning. Every morning, generally, I go for a walk, and I will go out thinking about, you know, whatever book I'm working on. And something will pop in my head, and I'll think, oh, yeah, and tap, 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 send it home. So that way, when I get home and I start working, there's all this stuff just waiting for me to, mm-hmm. I hate when I started out writing books, I was working full-time jobs in marketing, and right. would write in between jobs. I'd write a page here, a paragraph there, a sentence there. And I didn't really start becoming an author. And it's funny, because I was listening to last week's show, and your guest last week mentioned how it's a good idea not to quit your day job. And of course, I did that. I was 2012. I decided that's it. I've had it. And I started writing full time. And it was only then that I really started to get it. It really started, you know, I started to turn into an author, because you really need the time. You really got to devote yourself to it. You really got to get into it and not just do it part time and behind everybody's back.
Okay, I get that. Hang on to that thought. We got one more ad to do, and then we'll get back to you. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. This, of course, is The Writer's Block. And we'll be right back with you after this brief interlude from Creative Edge. Hi, Jim Christina here for Creative Edge Publicity. And you know, there's a reason that authors flock to Creative Edge. Yes, it's true, and no one would believe it, but it is true. Creative Edge, the grassroots publicity firm that has stayed community-minded, is growing. And not only growing, but busting right out of their seams. With a client base of over 70 authors, 2 New York Times bestsellers, 6 USA Today bestsellers, and multiple international bestsellers and award winners, Creative Edge in 4 years has become one of the mainstays in the publicity book market, offering reader-focused opportunities in all levels of media, including podcasts, radio, TV, print, and much more. When it comes to publicity, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge are experts in the book industry. Look him up at www.creative-edge.services. Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future.
And we are back, and Richard and I are proud to say that Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge is the onboard publicist for Tuscany Bay Books. Awesome. And if you're a writer and you sign up with Tuscany Bay Books, Mickey Mickelson and Creative Edge will automatically become your publicist if you want them.
And he won't work you like a rented mule if you let him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
That is true. You know, it's always such a fun time having you, Ken. It really is. You're such a great guest. Hey, for our second choice, you've been marvelous. No, you know better. You know better.
Man.
Our first choice was John Sanford, but he couldn't make it. No. We actually had him on the show. But it's always such a pleasure having you. And you've always been such a good sport. And the first time you were on, Candace Wade pretty much bogarted most of your time.
Oh, that's okay. I didn't mind at all.
Yeah, I know. You guys got into conversations. Bobby and I were going to go have a coffee break.
You both shared so much, though. It's really a rich interview.
Did. I mean, it was interesting to listen to you.
Yeah, I love talking with authors. I love talking with writers. I think the process of writing, the process of creating art is something, you know, normal people just don't get, because you have to take your brain and put it over where the crazy people are for a while.
Right.
it's so fascinating and
yeah. Really. Yeah. Well, you have to take the lock off your left brain and let it go to work. You know? And mine's a little lazy at the moment, so but now that you finished one novel, is going to the editor, what are you working on now?
Well, let's see. The line is the breakthrough book to Sue Jorgensen, Queen of Space, is off to the editor. But before that comes out, Work of Art Book 2, title still not quite certain, is going to be coming out at the end of the year. It's with my proofreader, whose name is Vicky, is also my wife. Right now, she's reading it. And when I get it back, I'll start recording the audiobook in September. I'm really excited about it. I've been working on finding my audiobook voice. I haven't really been totally comfortable, and I've been slowly working on getting it. And I think with the Work of Art books, I'm finding this natural kind of speaking tone that I really enjoy. My books tend to be really conversational, I think. So that'll be coming out at the end of the year. I have the third book in the Breakthrough written. I've got to do all the rewrites and everything for that. I got the third book in the Work of Art series halfway written. So those are going to be trucking along. And then I've got another really dark, meaty, worse than Little Mike.
Oh, boy, another one.
That's still kind of the click. And I'm still kneading it and molding it. But that's probably a couple of years from now.
Okay. Well, we've got you because we're about 1 minute out of time.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's always fun having you because the time just flies.
Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let our listeners know. Now, do you know that we go out worldwide and we are live right now?
Absolutely.
So they heard the bullshit remark. I love that. But let our listeners know where they can find you, email and website and whatever you got going.
Well, you know, find me all over. My name is Ken LaSalle. I'm on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Audible, wherever fine books are sold. Of course, my website is kenlasalle.com, KENLLE.com. We're relaunching it in about a week or so. But I'm on all social media. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, under my name, Ken LaSalle.
Okay. And
of course, you can always reach me on all the social media and all the things and stuff, et cetera.
Excellent. If you won't mind, if you want to hang out after the show ends, we can BS for a little bit before we all take off.
Great.
Okay. And next week, guys, Richard, one of your favorites, Mike Bond.
Mike Bond is back.
Mike Bond is back. Oh, Bond is back. He's got a new book called America. And it's about the 60s. It ought to be interesting. The book, he just sent it to you guys today.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, I just got it. So it's not short.
It's Mike.
Yeah, it's Mike. Yeah. Mike Bond is he's our super spy writer.
Yeah.
You
read fast. Great writer. You turn the pages fast, but there's always a lot of them.
Oh my God, he really really gets into the genre. Yeah. Of course, that's what he did for a living for a long time. So
does he introduce himself as Bond, Mike Bond?
I don't know, but that's not the right.
I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him.
That's not the right accent, Richard. It's Bond, Mike Bond.
There you go.
As he looks up over his cards, wiggling his eyebrows.
There you go.
Okay, we are out of time. Ken, thank you so much for spending an evening with us.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. And Bobby Jean and Richard and Mr. Jim Bell, wherever you are.
He's right here.
And, of course, Russ Evanson, who unfortunately is still stuck writing or giving classes. And of course, our benefactor, Mr. Sam Hassan, the owner of LA Talk Radio. And we appreciate everyone and all the listeners out there. And we are out of here.
You're listening to Writer's Block with Jim Christina, Bobby Bell, and Richard Polinelli, only on LA Talk Radio.